So Rabbi said, we're continuing now with the sugya of Kimle b'Derabimine that we began yesterday. And gentlemen, you were here on Monday, right? Did we touch on Kimle b'Derabimine on Monday? I think we did touch towards the end of the shiur. All right, so we made some progress yesterday. I'll try to review whatever we need. So the Gemara here on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph goes back on the top of the page to a previously quoted statement of Rav Chisda. And Rav Chisda says the following, that in order to accomplish Kimle b'Derabimine, you have to have simultaneity, which is called Be'idna. If on the one hand you have a chiv mamon, and subsequently you have a chiv miso or kares, that's not going to do it. That's called bazech arzeh, and we don't apply kimle b'derabimine. And therefore, says Rav Chisda, mod Rav Nechunya ben Akana, begonev chelbo shel chavero. So first, at stage one, He lifts up the chalev of his... Keep in mind, again, that chalev is mutabano, so it has value. He lifts up the chalev of his friend, and he intends to steal it. Not only to steal it, he intends to eat it, which is a chiv kares. So at stage number one, we'll call it time T1, he lifts up the chalev. And then viacholo, at time T2, he eats the chalev. In this case, we do not apply the principle of Kimle b'Derabimine, and therefore, hence, he's going to pay the owner of the chalev that he stole it from, because already at the point in which he lifted up the chalev for the purpose of stealing it, he already incurred a chiyuv gneva, and he made a kinyan gneva. The chiyuv for achilas chalev comes later when he eats it. And in the language of Rav Chisda, HaRekvar, Nischayev b'gneva kodem sheyovel lidei iser chelev. So the chiv tashlumin took place first, as soon as he lifted up the chelev for the purpose of stealing it. And in contrast, the chiv kares for eating chelev takes place later when he eats the chelev. So the Gemara says, Lema pliga d'Rabbi Ovin. Shall we say that the statement of Rabbi Ovin contradicts the statement of Rav Chisda? The Omer Rabbi Ovin, Hazorek Chetz Mitchilas Arba Lesof Arba. So now he's Chayev for Meleches Mavir Dalet Amos Pershus Arabim. Again, he doesn't carry the Chetz, but he throws the Chetz, and Zrika is a Tolda of Hotzah. Now on the way, Vikara Shirayim Balichoso, he destroys someone else's property. In other words, the chetz rips a hole in somebody's garment. Potter. Here Rabbi Ovin applies the principle of Kimle b'Derabimine. And he gives an explanation, Rabbi Ovin. He says, Shakira Tzorech Hanochihi, that the Akira is necessary, meaning the Akira when he shot the arrow, in order to be meniach it 4 amos later. So the act of Akira, is the beginning of Meleches Hotzah. That's called Akira Litzorech Hanoch. Do we have an extra Gemara floating around by any chance here?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it on my phone.
No. Just take it easy. We'll find one for you.
He feels not feeling well today, so.
Oh, okay.
I was supposed to be in the middle.
All right. So hopefully he'll have Rufu Shlema, and you'll have Rufu. We'll all have Rufu Shlema.
Just running.
Al, you're a speed runner here. I don't know why you have to run so fast.
Unfortunately, that's the problem. I'm not. I try.
You know, you get me scared when you hold yourself here. I think I got to get a cardiologist. Where am I going to find a cardiologist?
I know it's just that way.
You know one? You know one?
Go ahead.
Thank you so much. So if you can open up to the Gemara in Daf Lamed Aleph,
okay,
right there on top.
Yeah.
So the Gemara establishes a principle called Akira Tzorach HaNochahi.
Okay.
And as a result, if he rips the shirayim of his friend after he starts the Meleches Hotzah, because the Akira is the, if we could call it the kickoff, literally the kickoff or the throw off of Meleches Hotzah, so he's parted from Tashlumei Mamon as a mazik for destroying his friend shirayim. So Gemara says, if you have this concept called Litzorech, that we begin the action, and when the action ends and he's chayav, then any nezek, any tashlume moment that he incurs during the course of that action is enough to be undermined and neutralized by the principle of kimlei d'ramine. That's called Litzorech. So then we can take the achila. And we can begin the achilu by lifting up the chelev in this case. And the gemar achilu is when the chelev is finally swallowed, but anything that happens in between, from the time that he lifted up the chelev until the time that he swallowed the chelev, that's considered one continuous maisa. And therefore, hachinami hagbo litzorech achilahi, we should apply the principle of kim levi d'ramini, so that if we take Rabbi Oven to its logical conclusion, then he should be arguing against Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says that once you start this Hagbah, that's as far as the Chi of Gneva is concerned. So the Hagbah is separate, is an entity unto itself, and it clinches a Chi of Tashlumin. Then he eats, he swallows the Chalif. That's already subsequent. We don't view the Hagbah as part and parcel of this extended action of Achila, because the Hagbah is separate from the Achila. So the Gemara basically is asking the following question. Since Rabbi Ovin says that Yechayah for Hanocha, but the Akira itself is the first process that introduces that Hanocha, so we have sort of one long action that comprises many different parts. Any Tashlume moment that's incurred during the course of that action will be undermined, will be vitiated by Kimlei v'Ramini, by the Chiv. Even though, again, the Chiv itself, as far as the Gavra is concerned, he's not going to be Chayev until the Hanocha. But as far as the Maisa HaMachayev is concerned, the Maisa HaMachayev is set into motion through the concept of Tzorech. Tzorech meaning the fact that I can't, there's no way I can accomplish my Hanocha without first beginning with an Akira. If you haven't lifted up the object, you won't be able to put it down. So Gemara thinks that the same structure should apply in the case of Rav Chisda when he lifts up the Chelev in order to put it into his mouth. That's the key word here, the code word here in the sugya is tzorech. So just like we have akira, which is tzorech hanocha, so even though again the chiyuv is dependent upon hanocha, and that's when the chiyuv is clinched, nevertheless we expand the scope of kimlei rami to include any action that as a preliminary will be necessary to introduce that chiyuv. So the chiyuv itself is going to take place later, but the action that sets up that chiyuv is the akira, and then we can sort of create this overarching half bow in which we take the beginning of the Maisa, we take the end of the Maisa, and we view it as one continuum. Anything that happens simultaneous, any Tashlume moment that's incurred during the course of that continuum from time T1 until time T2, from the time that he starts the what's ever necessary to set this Molacha, this Chiyuv Misa into process, until he completes anything in the middle, is going to knock off a Chiyuv Mama, and that's Rabbi Oven. So we take Rabbi Oven's logic, his principle to its logical conclusion, then we begin the process of Achilu with picking it up. Because after all, how are you going to get into your mouth without lifting it up? And therefore the Hagbah is called Litzorech Achilu. And anything that's Litzorech, again, you could always talk about coincidental tzorech, meaning, let's say, for example, I have to walk from here to there in order to get access to the chelev. You wouldn't say kimlei d'ramini even according to Rabbi Oven at that point. You know, the halicha itself is not integral, but lifting up something that you have to put into your mouth, that's integral.
That doesn't. In other words, you're not counting In fact, technically, you could eat it without picking it up by just putting your head down and eating it off the plate.
Oh, so that's the Gemara's answer. Hachi hashta. Sal, you could have written the Gemara.
I'm afraid.
The only reason you couldn't write the Gemara is because you were born in the 20th century. Had you been born back then, you could have written the Gemara. Hachi hashta. Hosam. In the case of Zrikas HaChetz of Rabbi Ovin, Ief Shalanocha B'lo Akira. How is the Chetz going to arrive at its destination without an Akira? It's impossible. But Hacha, in the case of Achila, Ef Shaliochla B'lo Akba, Di boy gochin viochil, he could bend down and eat it off the ground. So I have a footnote here in the Masifta, in which he quotes Rav Kiveger and the Ktzos and others. They say that let's say he would have to lift up the chalev from the ground to get it into his mouth. Do you follow? You know, so he could lean over, but he still has to sort of flip it into his mouth. And in such a case, we would apply Kimlevi the Rab Mine, because then we would call it Tzorech. The Gemara is saying that Hagbah is too far removed from the Achila, because it's not a necessary preliminary. You can do without it. You can bend down and you could simply avoid the Hagbah. But let's say, for example, if you would have to somehow flip it into your mouth, maybe use your tongue, I don't know, whatever you use to throw it into your mouth, then in such a case, if you would incur a chiv gneva, I'll explain that in just a minute, simultaneous with your flipping it into your mouth, and the flipping into your mouth is called efshar, meaning it's impossible, then it would qualify under the law of tzorech, and therefore we'd apply kimlev the rabbine. Let me explain this a little bit further. Well, that's not my subject for today, but I just, since we touched on it, Rabbi Kiveger says the following, that a ganav is chayef for what's called a kinyan gneva. Now, normally, the classic kinyan gneva is called hagbah. However, there is a sheet of Tosfos, Rashi disagrees, elsewhere in Mabitzia, that putting something into your mouth is itself a kinyan, that the mouth is a chotzer. Again, this is way beyond my my expertise. Rashi says the mouth is not a chotzer. But according to the sheet of Tosfos, says Rabbi Kiveger, the mouth itself is a chotzer. So the moment that the ganav takes somebody else's chalev and puts it into his mouth, that already is a kinyan hagbah, not a kinyan hagbah technically, but a kinyan chatzer, but whatever you call it, it's a kinyan gneva, and that clinches his chiv to pay tashlume gneva. At that moment, he's doing a hagbah litzorech. What do I mean, hagbah litzorech? He's got to get it into his mouth. You can't eat something unless it's, what do they call it? Infusia. What do you call it? Intravenous, what's it called? Right, intravenous feeding. But leaving out intravenous feeding, in order to swallow something through your esophagus, you have to get it into your mouth. So to get it into your mouth, that's called litzorech. That's all e'ef shabalavach. Now, if you assume that putting something into your mouth is a kinyan, which is a heck of an assumption, that's shitas atos against Rashi, then the moment you put it into your mouth, you have simultaneously incurred a chi of gneva because of the kinyan of putting something into your chatzer, and at the same time, you've accomplished a litzorech achila. Again, the achila takes place a few seconds later when he swallows it, but there's no way he can swallow it unless he put it into his mouth. Hence, Rabbi Kiveger says that this gemara is not theoretical, it's actually practical. There is a case where, based on Rabbi Ovin of akir litzorech anocha, we can have a hagbol litzorech achila. Not the case of hagbol litzorech achila in the literal sense that he lifts it up three tefachim off the ground. That's not necessary in order to set up an achila. But you can have an hagbol litzorech achila in the case where he has to flip it into his mouth. Now you'll say, well, flipping into his mouth is not enough to be mechayev him as a ganav because he never achieved a kinyan. But the answer is that his mouth itself is a chotzer and it can serve as a kinyan. So I emphasize this as we go through the sugya, because the concept of litzorech with regard to achilas chelev and whether he has to pay as a ganav, is very relevant, so to speak. It's not just theoretical. You could have a construct in which there will be an absolute simultaneity between an action that incurs a chiyuv gneva, tashlume gneva, and an action that is at least, according to Rav Chisda's definition, litzorach achila. And litzorach achila, as we saw based on Rabbi Oven, is enough. So in the case of Hagbah, where he makes a kinyan Hagbah in the classic sense, well, that Hagbah is a preliminary stage to achila, but it's not a necessary preliminary stage. But if I would come up with a necessary preliminary stage to achila, and that necessary preliminary stage would coincide with a chiyuv gneva, meaning a kinyan gazlan, then ein chinami, we would apply the principle of kimlei b'naran based on litzorech. So this abstract principle called akira litzorech hanocha has tremendous repercussions, even in the case of achilas chila. That's Rabbi Kivay. Okay. Now, what I want to study with you is the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah, Rabbeinu Aaron Alevi, was one of the Chachmei Sfarad, and he tries to analyze this concept of litzorech. Now, let's keep in mind that even before the Ra'ah, we would have had, I think, a simple answer to the concept of litzorech. And I'm going to present that as a simple answer because I'm going to try to analyze why the Ra'ah was compelled to come up with a much more complicated or convoluted, that sounds pejorative, but I mean a more difficult, ambiguous kind of definition of tzorech. The simple definition of tzorech, I think, before the Ra'ah, lefi ani hasdaiti, is to set up a maisa avera, which means the following. That in the case of Meleches Hotzah, the Akira, which in this particular case, Rabbi Oven, it means when he lets the arrow fly, that's called the Akira, when the object begins its motion. Akira is not just a technicality. Let me give you an example. We have halacha of Hasra Toch Kidei Dibra of the Maisa Mechayev. So, for example, if I would warn you now and you would implement the Avera in 2 seconds from now, which is called Li'achar Tokidei Dibur, the Hasra would not be valid. Hasra, it's similar to the concept, if I don't equate it, to Over Lasiyos in Birchas HaMitzvah. It has to be like the last second before the Avera. It's got to be attached to the Avera. So let's say, for example, a person lifts up an object, walks 4 amas, and puts it down. The halacha would be that the hasra would come right before he begins his halicha, like halicha is the akira, or let's say leaving out halicha. Let's say, for example, if I lift up this object and I put it down 4 amos later in further in Rishus Arabim, so the hasra would be attached to the akira. Or I'll give you another example to prove the same point that the akira is part of the avera. If let's say he had an akira, this is a sugya here in Ksubis, actually, also in Shabbos, shalolitzar chotzah. He's carrying his dresser, you know, from one corner of the living room to the other corner of the living room, but he has no intention of leaving, you know, crossing the threshold and bringing it out to Rishus Arabim. He's potter in that case. Why? Because the akira was not an akira for the purpose of chotzah. And this again indicates, and there are many other proofs to this, that the Akira is an integral part of the Avera and is part of the Machayev of Meleches Hotzah. Therefore, the simple way of understanding Rabbi Oven before the Ra'ah would have been that Rabbi Oven's principle of Kimlev the Ramine means that Kimlev Rabbi applies whenever he has already initiated the Maisa Avera Machayeves. And the Avera Machayeves is, or let's say the other way around, the Akira is an integral part of the Avera Machayeves. The Ra'ah, I believe, is going to give us is compelled to leave that on the side. Why? Because the Gemara is not saying that the Akira is part of the Avera Machayeves, and I'll prove it to you. The Gemara says it's Litzorech Hanocha, meaning that you cannot achieve your Hanocha and your Chiyuv without this action called Akira. So it's not that I'm defining the Akira as part of the Avera. That is true. The Akira is in fact part of the Aveir, but that's not the point of Rabbi Yovan. Rabbi Yovan must be saying something totally different, and I'll prove it to you. Because the Gemara applies Rabbi Yovan's principle of Litzorech even in the case of lifting up a piece of chalev for the purpose of eating it. No one would say that lifting up the chalev is part of the Avera Machayeves. It may be a necessary, in certain situations, an absolutely necessary precondition, and I can't avoid it, but it's not part of the Avera Machayeves. If I would give you Asra before you lift up the chalev, and then you ate the chalev 5 minutes later, you would not be chayev. The Asra is not a valid Asra. Why? Because Asra has to be overly Avera, and lifting it up might be necessary because you can't achieve your goal of achilu without it, but it's a necessary precondition. You know, in mitzvahs, maybe we call it a hechsher mitzvah. You know, there are two types of hechsher mitzvah. There's a hechsher mitzvah she'efshar, and there's a hechsher mitzvah she'efshar. So there's some hechsher mitzvahs where I can't possibly fulfill the mitzvah without the hechsher mitzvah, but it still remains a hechsher mitzvah. And the ismal of a moel is a hechsher mitzvah, but it's not part of the mitzvah mila. Mila is initiated by the maisa mila itself. So you can have many preconditions that have to be met, and you can't avoid them in order to do a maisa. But that's not part of the maisa. They still remain introductions, and they're outside the purview of the maisa. How then can the Gemara assume that Kimlei b'Derabine applies in any action that's necessary to set up the Aveir, even if it's not part of the Aveir? That's the Ra'ah's problem, I think. And the Ra'ah is going to come up with some new definition of Kimlei b'Derabine. But I just want to explain where we're coming from. There was been a much simpler way of understanding Kimlei b'Derabine in Rabbi Ovin's framework. That Akira Litzarech Hanocha means the Akira is part of the Aveir. So you've now begun the Avera. The Avera may take stages, it may take time. During that entire period of time, we apply the principle of Kimlei b'Derabine. So somewhere during the flight of the arrow between the Akira and the Anocha, it rips the Shiraim of someone else. Well, the Akira sets up the Anocha. The Akira is part of an Avera. The Avera is defined as Akira plus Anocha, with Havaras Rishus in the middle. And anything that happens during in terms of Tashlumi Momen is knocked off by Kimlei b'Derabine. That to me is the simple understanding. You can assume, see the Ra'ah, he's going to do somersaults in the air to come up with some explanation of this Gemara.
Tzar is one of the Ra'ah, it has two parts to it.
So the Ra'ah, I think, was bothered by the problem of Chalev. Achilas Chalev doesn't have two parts to it.
That's right.
Achilas Chalev, how could the Gemara apply Kimlei b'Derabine to Achilas Chalev? The Gemara takes the words of Rabbi Ovin as an abstract principle called Litzorech, and applies it even in the case of Hagbah, Litzorech Achila, Ribbono Shel Olam. Why is that part of the Avera? Hagbah is not part of the Avera. Where do you have the Litzorech? There must be a whole new definition of Litzorech if the Gemara tolerates applying Rabbi Ovin's principle to the case of Hagbah in Achilas Chelev. That Lefi Anias Daiti is the background to this Ra'ah. So let's see the Ra'ah inside. The Ra'ah is here on page, let me just see one second, on page Kuf Tzadi. Do we have Kuf Tzadi? Yes, no, maybe?
No.
Sammy, you have Kuf Tzadi?
Yeah.
Are there any other spare copies? I don't think Yosef got a copy. Yosef, if you turn around with your right hand, you'll get a copy, hopefully. Okay. Extra copy for Alan, maybe. I don't know if the rabbi wants one. Maybe I didn't make enough. I don't know. Now, you know, Rabosai, I'm trying to work through this sefer called Mishkanos HaRoim. And it's very hard. Why is it very hard? First of all, his language is hard. That itself is a challenge. But I don't mean that. What I mean is that very often he picks up a topic in one sugya, and then he comes back to it in another sugya. And this book is humongous. I mean, it's over 600 pages long. Now, I'm not telling you I went through these 600 pages. Don't get me wrong.
On Elonaris.
And it's all on Eru Lunaris. Yeah, it goes up to Daf Mem Aleph Amid Beis. Where's the end of Eru Lunaris? I think it's Mem Aleph Amid Beis. What do you say?
You did go through all of them because starting at the beginning is in Tzorah.
Very good. So here on page Kuf Tzadi, and he really analyzes this much later on in the Sefer, so I'm going to try to put together the two pieces. He has a Ra'ah. So now, the first paragraph you'll see in bold print, that means he's just quoting the Gemara. So we don't have to go through that. We went through the Sugya. Again, we didn't go through the second Lishna in the Gemara, but I don't think that's going to be relevant to our discussion today, so we'll leave that out. And he starts a paragraph that starts, Begeder Hadin D'Akira Tzorech Hanocha. The Lishna Kama. Today we're studying the Lishna Kama. I didn't even mention to you the Lishna Basra. That's futuristic for me. I have to get by the Lishna Kama. Now he calls it Geder Adin. I mean, I wouldn't have called it a din. I would have called it a principle, like an Ikaron or a Yesod. But he calls it a din. Okay, fine. And the Gemara says the following, that why is Akir L'Tzorech Hanocha considered expands the scope of Kim Levi the Rabbi, such that even before the Anocha, we're going to knock off a Chi of Mammon, because it was subsequent to what? To the Akira. So he says, Matsinu Sholosh Shitas Berishonim. I mean, that itself can arouse your curiosity that there are three different Shitas about how to understand Akira L'Tzorech Hanocha. I'm going to focus on the first of those three shitos, which is the Ra'ah, for the time being. Okay, then? He says the following, Dehine b'sugyan, parach ad rabi ovim, mibraisa da gonev kis b'shav is chayav, shekrein is chayav b'gneva konum shiyovel idei isu skilov, amai hochinami neima hagbol etzorach hotzahi. V'hikshu rishonim, the maiko parach hola lishna kama, okay, let's explain. So for a moment I'm going to put these pages on the side and go back to the Gemara. If you could fast forward to Masiv Rabibi Barabaye, let's just see if I can show you where that is. It's about two-thirds down the page. If you want to count from the bottom up, if that's a little easier on Daf Lamed Aleph, you can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. I think it's 12 lines up from the bottom. On the same Daf that we're on, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph. So that's Masiv Rabibi Barabaye. Now, Rabibi Barabai has a Brisa that has a Reish and a Sefer. We're going to focus on the Reish of the Brisa. Hagonev Kis B'Shabbos. So what happens is, he lifts up the wallet of his friend. He's still inside his friend's domain. And then he carries it out to Rishus HaRav. So Rabosai, what would you say? I'm just sort of playing a pedagogic game with you, if you can cover the next line in the Gemara, so to speak. Would he be chayev to pay Tashlume Gneva if he took the wallet, lifted it up, which is called a Kinyan Gneva, and then he took it over the threshold and put it down in Rishus HaRab, and he's chayev now for Meleches Hotzah? Would you say that he pays or he doesn't pay? Doesn't pay. So what, again, what's that secret word, the password for today's Shia? Litzorach. What is Litzorach? Let's go over the concept of Litzorach one more time. And we saw that if you lift up the Chelev, again, it's got to be lifting up the Chelev in such a way that you couldn't do without it. You know what I mean? It was a necessary preliminary stage. So if it's Yevsha Beloachi, then we apply this broadening principle called Litzorach. Now the Gemara is going to wonder, excuse me, why the Braisa in the next line says Chayav. The Bryce insists that there's no kimle b'drami, that he's going to have to pay for gneva because he hasn't yet implemented his hotzah. At what point in time does he implement his hotzah? When he crosses the threshold. But the chiyuv gneva has already been clinched with the hagbah when he lifted up the wallet in the reshus of the bailim for the sake of gneva. And once that chiyuv gneva has been etched in stone, what happens subsequently when that hagbah terminates or completes itself with a hanocha, because he takes the wallet and he puts it out in reshus haramim, that's already a different chiyuv. That's a later chiyuv for violating Melech HaShabbos. But as far as the chiyuv gneva and the tashlume gneva is concerned, that was clinched already in the reshus of the bailim. Again, because it's kini gneva even the reshus of the bailim before he crosses over the threshold. So the Gemara.
Two separate acts.
But what happened to the concept of litzorech? Why is he lifting up the? Again, later the Gemara is going to say maybe he didn't have in mind to take it out. But right now the Gemara is assuming he had in mind to take it out. And the Braisa didn't qualify, so we assume he had in mind to take it out. In fact, the Braisa must be talking about a case where he had in mind to take it out, because the Braisa itself says that he's chayav skila. But the Gemara says, the Braisa says, that he pays the nignav, why? Shekvar nischayav b'gneva konu shiyovel idei yisur skila. Meaning that the hagbal l'chud, as a machayav in tashlum b'gneva, and the hotzal l'chud, when he puts it down in Rishus HaRabim, and he incurs a chiyav skila, and the two separate actions. But we just finished saying that we can integrate these two actions into one as far as kimle b'drami, based on litzorech. So the Rishonim don't understand what's going on over here. Why? Because we finished saying that litzorech applies whenever it's a necessary precondition. It's a preliminary stage that's absolutely unavoidable. So for example, in the case of achilas chelev, we differentiated between lifting up the chelev, which is avoidable because he could have bound down, as opposed to the case where he has to flip it into his mouth, there's no other way he could swallow it, and that itself would be efshar, you can't avoid it, and therefore we would apply kimle b'drami, and in the case of akira, there's no way that you could have hanocha without the akira, and therefore it's called litzorech. And if it's called litzorech, we apply the principle of kimle b'drami. So the Gemara says, Amai, why is it that the Braisa says that he has to pay the Ganav? Hochanami Neima, why don't we apply the principle of Rabbi Ovin, which Rabbi Ovin applied to Akira, and say that Agbah is Litzorech Hotzahi. The Agbah is the beginning of the Hotzah. So the Rishonim go ballistic here. They don't have any clue what the Gemara is thinking over here. What do you mean, Hagbah is Litzorech Hotzah? We just finished saying that Litzorech only applies when it's an absolutely unavoidable preliminary stage. Like the case of Akira, where you don't have Hanoch without an Akira. But Hagbah? Do you have to lift up an object in order to chaya for Hagbah means three tvachim, because you know there's no kinyan if it's love, right? Except for Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, we don't know Rabbeinu Tam, but all the Rishonim gang up against Rabbeinu Tam. Hagbah requires that you lift it up three tvachim from the ground. Is there any footnote somewhere in Hilchos Hotzah that you're only chaya from Lechos Hotzah if you lift it up three tvachim from the ground?
No.
What's that called if he doesn't lift it up? So just for the terminology, that's called gorer umotzi. Huh. Okay, gorer umotzi. So he drags it. He can drag it on the ground. And once he crosses the threshold, he's chai from leches hotzah. There's no requirement of agbah. So the Rishonim want to know, what is this Gemara about? We just finished sweating it out. And we said that the reason why Rav Chisda says that if you lift up the chelev and then later you eat it, you're going to be chayiv to pay and compensate the owner of the chelev, that you ate his chelev, because that was already clinched at the time of the Agbah. The Gemara says, what about Litzorech? The Gemara says, that's not Litzorech. You could have bent down and completely avoided lifting it up. Here too, in the case of Shabbos, he could have completely avoided lifting up the wallet. He could have just dragged the wallet on the ground. Mm-hmm. That's what bothers him in this paragraph, the Geder Hadin. And this leads us to the Ra'ah in the next paragraph, because of Ha-Ra'ah. Says the Ra'ah, the Iker Tirutz Kushezu. He says, in order to answer this question, She'ein Iker Hakavana im Efshar Leze Belo Ze O I Efshar. The Ra'ah says, we don't understand the Gemara. We took the Gemara too literally, too seriously. And we wanted to know, is there any way to achieve the Achila without the Akbar? Is there any way of achieving the Hanocha without the Akira? And we took the Gemara at face value. Well, if that be the case, the Gemara has no kasha from the case of Kiss, because Agonev Kiss, he could have been Gorer V'yotze. So it's not a case of Yevsha. Ella. So what is the Gemara, what is this principle called the Tzorach? What does it come down to? How do you define it? He says, Shekvar Hiskil Lischayev Bin Nafsho Kishem Ischayev B'Tashlumin Kigon Akira V'Anocha Devadei Mishas Akira Hiskil Lischayev Bin Nafsho Mishum Debechiv Shabbos Kevon to be in an akira v'anocha, achar she'osa osa melocha, ein omrim shechiyuvo al ha'anocha. Now he's arguing against some phantom adversary here who would say that, you know, the akira is only there to set up the anocha, but he's chai for the anocha. Sheze eino. That's not correct. She'ein chiyuvo al ha'anocha yosem in akira. And that's, Rabbi, what you were saying before, that the melocha sotso is made up of two parts, akira and anocha, el ben shneim. The kevet shuchayev al hakira keha anocha. In other words, as part of the avera, there's no less significance to the akira than anocha. Mishas akira hu poshut shu mischayev benafsho me osa shah. Again, it's going to be conditional, right? If let's say you did an akira, there never was anocha. You know, it got burnt up in the middle of the sky, so you wouldn't be chayev. But when you're chayev no less for the anocha. Then you are no less for the Akira than you are for that Nocha. So therefore, if you're talking about defining the Chiyuv begins with the Akira. And now he gives a very fascinating analogy. Let's say, for example, there's a Shir in Meleches Ktsira. Let's say for Ktsira, you have to be Kotzer, Kidei Moli Piv Pigdi, right? Or maybe you need a Kazayas, whatever the Shirim are. I forgot, there's a whole sugi about this in Perek Abona. So let's say, for example, he would incur a Chiv Tashlumin when he started the Shir. He hasn't yet completed the Shir of Kotzer. So Afal Pisha Ein Chiyuv Ad Gemar Ktsira Ad Gemar Shir Ktsira, nevertheless you would still say that he's part of Tashlumin. So you give a time period that extends from the beginning of his Ktsira till the end of his Ktsira, meaning till he fulfills the whole Shir. Any Chiyuv Mamon that he incurs during that period of that time period, he would be part of because of Kimleim the Ramine. Why? Because he's being Chayav not just for the last part of the Ktsira, he's Chayav for the first part of the Ktsira. And this Rabosai is a tremendous machlokas in Hilchos Shabbos, how this works. I mean, the Ra'ah is taking a definite position that has to be really understood. I mean, you know, there's a whole discussion, for example, about someone who starts a bishul on Shabbos and the bishul completes itself kashir after Shabbos, or let's say in Zriya, the shir of Zriya is Hashrosha, and the question is, how can it be chayef for Zriya when the Hashrosha takes place after Shabbos? I mean, this is a whole business with the Igle Tal and the Rashash. I mean, it's Levitica stuff. But anyway, he's assuming that the chiyuv starts with the beginning of his ktsira, and it ends with the shir of ktsira, and anything in between is Kimblei v'derav mine. He says the same thing applies with Akira and Anocha. Akira and Anocha is like a shir and hotzah. You know, Rabosa, we always differentiate between kamos and echus. the shear of Katsira is the shear in Kamus. You know, how much has he impacted on the world here? Has he harvested from the ground? That's a Kamus. That's an issue of quantity. Akira and Anocha, that's not an issue of quantity. It's not he took out a shear of Kezias. You know, that's how much he moved. It was not talking about Kamus. This is an issue of Echlus. So, and when it comes to Echlus, I don't know if you could compare it to the case of a shear in Kamus. In the case of Echlus, it could very well be that the Akira is nothing more than setting up the Hanocha, but it's not part of the Avera itself. You know, he assumes that the Akira is part of the Avera. He hasn't really achieved his goal by equating it to the case of Ashir and Ktsira. In any event, he goes on to Achilles Chelev. And he says the following, Aval Achilles Chelev ala emes, ein hascholas chiyuvo klal ad shas blia. Aval lemala. Oh, okay, fine. So let's go slowly here. So he's saying that in contrast, in the case of Achilles Chelev, so he lifts up the chelev, and the question is, shall we consider the lifting up the chelev to be part of the chiyuv? He says, "Lamala ola bedas loma shagbah tzarech achila hi." Right, there was a havamina that hagbah is considered tzarech achila. Hare or lahachi shas hagbah chashiva shas hascholas chiyuv. I think what he's saying is the Gemara is not going to accept that lemaskana, but there was a havamin in the Gemara to assume that the beginning of his chiyuv is the shas hagbah. And then that's pretty strange when you think about it, because he's eating and he's chayav for eating. You know, is the hagbah shas chiyuvo, that he's already mischayav benafsho b'shas Hagbah,
especially if he doesn't complete it and he doesn't eat it.
Right, but in this case he has an achila b'shas blia. But why? So the Gemara has a very strange havamina. Again, I can't vouch for this havamina. But this is the Ra'oz approach, that in the havamina the Gemara thinks that the hascholas achiyuv is b'shas hagbah. Again, he admits that l'maskana we don't accept that. The chazu lomach is the eno she'ena agbol litzorach achil kevin she'efsha belochen di boy gochin viachil. So again, at this point, I would have said that what the Gemara is pointing out is that it's not a necessary preliminary stage, because you can just bend down and eat it from the ground, and therefore the agbol is not necessary. But he's not learning that way. The Ra'o l'shitaso, he wants to know whether it's hascholas achil. He says, "Adayin yesh lilmo bimenu be'agbah hu she'efsha belochen." Aval ilu gochin v'ochil patur. In the case of gochin v'ochil, if he would have, again, he doesn't mention Rabbi Kivega's hechatimtzah, but if he would have hechatimtzah in which, in order to eat the chelev, he would have to lift up the chelev or make some sort of a kinyan on the chelev, then we would apply a p'tur of kimle b'derab minei, because he has no other way of getting the achil without gochim v'achil. Kevan deha vade lo sagi le l'achil b'loach nosel l'piv zu vade choshevu lanu tchilas achiv. So we now have a concept called tchilas achiv. That's what it means when it says litzorech. It's got to be tchilas achiv. And according to the Ra'o, hachnosa l'piv is tchilas achiv. So if hachnosa l'piv is enough to generate achiv tashlume gneva, then he'd be potum idin kimle, because at that moment of hachnosa l'piv, it's hascholas achiv. Again, I would never say that he could spit it out, right? I'm just giving an example, but what I mean to say is that to classify and define the achnosa l'piv as a tchilas achiv, that's pretty way out. And that's what the Mishkanos Aron points out. If you take a look at the end of this paragraph, he said, "Mitzan etzav isra chelav achnos lepiv einon chelik michelke avera ela bliya bulvad." But we came on to efshel bliya below achnos lepiv nechsheves shazu kitchilas achiyuv.
Why doesn't he say kitchilas achiyuv? Because without it, as soon as
it's impossible.
It, no, once he does that, he's mishana the thing, and then therefore he can't return it. So
Oh, maybe the Taurus Mazik, you mean? I'll tell you the reason why he's not learning me did Mazik has to do with another sugya that we didn't learn, and that's called Tochav Lo Betok Piv, that he might not be the Mazik because somebody else put it into his mouth. But nevertheless, he could be Konet Midin Chotz if he wants to steal it. Okay, we're not going into all those details. But again, what's crucial for me, Rabosai, is that what's happening here is that the Ra'ah is redefining the Halach of Litzorech, and he's saying that Litzorech is only a barometer to measure whether it's tchilas achiyuv. And he's willing to say that since achnasa lepiv is unavoidable, right, there are no shortcuts here. You have to put the chelev into your mouth in order to swallow it. Therefore, it becomes atcholas achiyuv. And that's what the Gemara's maskon is about litzorech. Okay? So now he's saying the following, that in the case of Hagbos Hakis, remember the Kash of the Rishonim, why does Gemara think that Kimle and Rabine should apply to Hagbos Hakis? He didn't have to lift it up, he could have dragged it on the ground. So the answer is no, because Hagbos Hakis is the Ascholas Achiv. In the case of Haknos Lepiv, or Hagbol Litzorach Achila, there I need a good push to come up with this broadening of our definition of Hascholas Achiyuv, and the big push is that he efshar b'achila below achnos lepiv. But in the case of Hagbah, where he intends to carry it out over the threshold into Rishus HaRam, I don't need this efshar in order to establish tchilas achiyuv. It's by definition, objectively, it's tchilas achiyuv, because that Hagbah culminated in a hanocha Birshus Arabim. If it culminates in Anoch Birshus Arabim, then I know that Hagbah was the Tchilas Achiyuv. Did he have to do the Hagbah? Admittedly, no. He could have accomplished the Chiyuv Skila for Otzah without Hagbah. Right? That's called Gorer. But nevertheless, if he lifted it up and he had in mind to take it and bring it out to Birshus Arabim, that's called the Tchilas Achiyuv. And here I don't need to analyze to put it under the laboratory and ask whether it's Efshar below Zeh or it's E-Efshar below Zeh. Efshar or low Efshar below Zeh is when it's not clear that it's part of the Achiv. If it's not clear that it's part of the Achiv because we don't integrate it into the Aveira, like for example, Hachnasa Lepiv or Agbah in the case of Chelev, in those cases I need this extra element of E-Efshar below Zeh in order to upgrade it to the status of Ascholas Achiv. But again, Rav Osai, what's critical here is that this new definition of Litzorech equals Achnosol equals Haskolas Achiyuv is not our definition. Our definition intuitively was that Akira Litzorech Hanocha means that the Akira is part of the Avera. He's coming up with a whole new definition because he wants to accomplish the following goal, that even in the case of Hagbah, which culminates in Achila, the Gemara insists that that's called Litzorech. Why is that called Litzorech? Nobody would argue that Hagbah is part of the Maisa Avera of Achila. Achila is Achila, not Hagbah. The only answer is that's Efshar below Zeh. Right? And then we go through the various permutations, whether he could have lifted it, he didn't have to lift it, he could have bent down, he had to put it in his mouth, it's Achnos Lepiv, Efshar below Achnos Lepiv, and all that is here in the Ra'ah. But now the Ra'ah is forced against, his back is against the wall, he has to come up with a brand new definition of Kimlev the Rabbine, of Litzorech. It's not Litzorech the way we define it, that it's the beginning of the Avera, but rather it's considered Haskolas Achiv. And Haskolas Achiv is not the same as Tchilas Avera. Otherwise, then the whole sugi of Hachnosa, of Hagbol Litzorech Achil would be nonsensical. Hagbol Litzorech Achil is sensible only because you have this broader definition called Haskolas Achiv. Now let's think how radical this concept of Eschalos Achiyuv is. Basically saying, let's go back to the end zone and then go backwards. You know, we're not going to look at the what's it called in football, the guy who throws the ball? I don't mean the quarterback, but whoever throws the ball, it doesn't have to be the quarterback, but the passer. Okay, we'll call him the passer. He's used 99 out of 100 cases, he's the quarterback, but right. So we're not going to look at the passer. We're going to look at the hanocha, and we're going to ask ourselves, what was the beginning of that hanocha in order to make it possible for that hanocha to be machayev him? So even if I would argue that the akira is only a technicality, and it's not part of the avera hamachayeves, but it's called the tchilas achiyuv. Why is it the tchilas achiyuv? Because I work backwards. I look at the sof, and I determine what was necessary to arrive at that sof. And whatever was necessary to arrive at that sof, that's the tchilas achiyuv. So when he fries, pardon the expression, you know, we give him skila, he's going to fry because of the eschalos achiyuv, even though the eschalos achiyuv was not part of the avera per se. So therefore, if he picks up the object and carries it out, right, that's the case of Gonev Kiss, and he had intention when he picked it up to take it out, even though he, right, that's already part of the Eschalos Achiyuv. But more important is when he lifts up the Chelev and he wants to eat, and then he intends to eat the Chelev, the Eschalos Achiyuv is when he lifted up the Chelev. Why? Because he couldn't do without it. So Gemara says, but he can bend down. So Gemara says, but you have to put it into your mouth. So the putting it into your mouth becomes Eschalos Achiyuv. So the key phrase here that I want to underline here is, Dohavadai lo sagile lachilu b'lo achnos aspiv. You see that on the left column, I underlined it. Is therefore, Vadei choshev hu lanu Eschalos Achiyuv. So again, nobody could argue that putting it into your mouth is achila. Achila is blia. But putting it into your mouth is considered Eschalos Achiyuv. And that's enough to activate the principle of Kimlei Bidurabni.
Is this all because he committed an avera before he was intending to commit an avera? They loosened the definition, so to speak, to start his...
Well, not only did he intend to do the avera, but he couldn't have done without it. That's the main thrust.
He couldn't have done it, but...
Do you follow what I'm saying? Right. So you look at the avera and its accomplishment, then ask yourself, well, what were the necessary, absolutely critical stages and steps that could have led up to that chiyuv? And whatever you define as those critical stages, that's called Eschalos Achiyuv.
What if there was no chiyuv involved altogether, and he was doing a normal thing? Would you say that nobody would say that the stage starts from the picking it up from the plate?
I'm not sure what the case is. Give me a case. Did he eventually violate some avera or not?
Maybe eventually he did, or maybe it was.
But I'm saying the eventuality was made possible by X, by a certain action. If that action fits the following description, it was that action was absolutely necessary in order for him to incur the avera. Then, according to the Ba'oz approach, that's called Eschalos Achiyuv. Where we're going to give him an extra patch, you know, let's say it was a Chiyuv Balkis, give him a 40th lash for the Eschalos Achiyuv.
But I don't mean to say that. I mean, what if he really was just wanting to be Kona? He wants to be Kona, this.
But why is that relevant to our Sugya of Kimlei Bidurabni?
Because it would never even have come into anybody's mind that you would be start the beginning of the process of Kinyan from the beginning when he's taking it up from the plate. Because that's the haskala of anything. They broadened the whole definition because he's an avarian, or he's an intended avarian in the first place.
So again, Dini Mominus was saying the following, that the kinyan for which the ganav is chayev is actually achnosel piv. Again, that's a machlokas rishonim, but we're going, and the Ra'oz is standing on the shoulders of the Bali Atosus, that achnosel piv is a kinyan. At that very moment, he was engaging in achila. What? He's engaging in achila? Achila is bliya. The answer is Eschalos Achiyuv. A whole new concept here called Eschalos Achiyuv.
So why would you?
Do you appreciate the radical nature of this Ra'ah? I mean, again, if I were to say it, so you throw me out of shiur for saying it. But the Ra'ah was one of the Rishonim. I mean, and we're going to build a lot on this Ra'ah as we'll see.
Right, I mean,
you know, so you can't just ignore the Ra'ah. You know, I don't like the Rembrandt, so it's not good. You know, you're not on trial. Rembrandt's not on trial. You're on trial if you don't appreciate the Rembrandt. I mean, that's how the Rav taught us. He never said Rembrandt. I don't know if the Rav appreciated Rembrandt. But, you know, when it came to Rishonim, if you don't understand the Rishon, that's your problem. That's not the Rishon's problem.
Why?
Achronim was garnished, you know, except for a few, a little. There was a list. I always try to figure out what was on the Rav's list. You know, sometimes he would tell us which Sfarim Reb Chaim had on his desk. And what he meant to tell us was that those Achronim were on the list, you know.
Why don't you define Aschnos Achiv by Kavan? In other words,
wait a second. Let me ask this, Rabbi. There's chalev in that room. I intend to eat it. Are you going to apply kimlet ramine during my halicha when I go from this room to that room? I have full intention of eating the chalev.
Couldn't eat it without getting there.
Right, I couldn't eat it without getting there. Is that Aschnos Achiv? The answer is that if I had a magical wand, I could get it here without walking. You know what I'm saying?
You had to get up.
Or you would do me a favor and bring it to me. You know what I'm saying? So we need an Efsha that's an absolute Efsha. It's very hard to come by that. He claims that Hachnos Lepiv is an Efsha. I claim, what about intravenous feeding? Okay, well, you're not chayav for intravenous feeding. So forget about that example.
But I mean, what if he's doing this for all the mitzvah, not the feed? Well, let's say he's eating a piece of a shlomim. Okay, he wants to be yotzer with the mitzvah of shlomim that belong to his friend, and he wants to be yotzer. So what is he yotzer with? What is he kone, so to speak, in order to be yotzer with?
Again, our goal is the following: that at the moment that he was kone, he violated an iser kares.
Yeah, but that's,
do you follow? At that very moment, that's the goal of our leaving today. You know, and otherwise we're not going to get to Kimlei Miravine.
No,
the purpose of Kimlei Miravine is to try to pat you off from Tashlumin based on a Chiv Misa or a Chiv Karis.
I understand.
So if I'm eating your Shlomim, you know, I got to pay you for your Shlomim.
The only thing I'm asking is, in other words, did the Chazal intentionally broaden when your Chiv started? Because you're a variant compared to if this was done clearly.
I don't know. You're asking me more like philosophical.
The
Rabbi is not talking about psychological motivations here. He's just trying to define our love. He wants to know, when does Kimlev the Rabbinate begin? What's the kickoff of Kimlev the Rabbinate? Because again, you know, when you talk about doing an Avera for which you have Kari Savisa, there are many, many different stages. You know, I could wake up in the morning and say already in the morning I had Kavanah to eat it. But we need some sort of simultaneity between the Chiyuv Mohen and the Chiyuv Misa and the Avera per se. And the Ra'o doesn't understand. How do we get by this Gemara? The Gemara is willing to say that Akbaz Litzorech. That buzz might be Litzorach, but it's not part of the Avera. So he breaks new ground with a new concept which is called Hascholas Achiv. Go figure out what that means. I can tell you when it applies. It applies when you get to that point where it would be impossible to imagine the Avera without it. Under any, you know, in any galaxy, you know, in the universe.
That's when he opens his eyes in the morning.
So
if he didn't open his eyes, he wouldn't be able to eat it.
No, that's not so. I can eat things even with my eyes closed. I do it all the time. Especially when I don't like what I'm eating.
Yeah, that's when you're eating your words.
Right? Go back to Zoraya.
Right.
Okay, there's a seed in the earth, and I water it.
Right. Okay? Mashka's right.
And I water it to the extent that I flood it, and I ruin the clothes that are there. Now the Hashrasha doesn't take place. When is the Isser of Zoraya? The Hanacha part, the Akiva Hanacha. If I shoot that arrow,
right,
and the arrow hits the clothing, but let's say that arrow does not, magically, does not have a Hanacha.
Right, it dissipates it into the air. Right,
I zap it, and it just stays there.
Right.
Am I chayav anything? No.
No. For sure, you'd have to pay for the damages.
Okay,
right?
The same.
Yeah, that's fine.
So, how does this process work?
So again, before the Ra'o, I thought the process works because you chai for the Akira. But now he's saying, no, that's not what Litzorach means. The Gemara is going to say that you can apply this Kimlei Rabbinei even in the case of Hagbah Litzorach Achila. Hagbah Litzorach Achila, you're not chai for the Hagbah.
But he says you are.
No. He doesn't say you are. He's not saying that you're chayiv for the akbar. He admits that you're not chayiv for akbar because the akbar is just a hechatimtza that sets up the achila. But he says there's a new principle here that if it's the efshar, if you could not achieve your achila without doing X, then even though X is not part of the avera and we're not punishing you for X, but nevertheless it's enough to set off this new din of kimleim d'rabine. It's a bzunder alach, as we say in kimleim d'rabine, and it's called ascholas achiyu. And Aschol Sachiv allows me to go from the end back to the beginning. And I ask myself the question, when he's chayiv at the end, what set up that chiyuv? Not what was the Avera HaMachayevus, the way we understood it, but what was necessary and absolutely indispensable to set up that chiyuv. What was, because God created a world, and in the physical world, we don't know of an achilu without achnas l'piv. So again, I'll read to you the key line, because I think everything in here is in this one line. He says, Havade lo sagi lachila below achnas l'piv. We don't know of a universe in which you can eat chalev without putting it into your mouth.
Right.
And therefore, choshev lanu ka'ascholas achiyuv. When we go back to the ascholas achiyuv and we get to an yefsha situation, that maisa, which is the yefsha below, which is absolutely necessary, that becomes ascholas achiyuv. A whole new concept. This is not what we call a maisa vera concept. Yeah. He admits Pem Mole, that I shouldn't say Pem Mole, that's like a pun over here, but he admits fully that putting something into your mouth is not an avera. Again, you might have a drabbanon, you know, maybe you're afraid to swallow it or something like that. But until he does the blia, you know, there may be even cases where even lechatchila you're allowed to put something into your mouth. Maybe, you know, if it's a chola shein bo sakana, I don't know exactly. So Rav Hossai, in order to really appreciate this ra'ah, what I'd like you to do is open up to a different part of this book. That's why I told you, that's why, you know, there are pages floating through the air over here, from here to there to elsewhere. But what I found here is a very fascinating piece. I'll just tell you what page it's on here, if I can find it, just one second. It should be page Resh Tes. Do you have such a page?
Resh Yud and Resh Yud Aleph.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, Resh Tev. Yeah. Have it.
Got me really scared here. No, I'm very bad with the photocopy. I don't know. Because, again, it's not all my fault. 90% of it is my fault, but the other 10% I'm blaming on the Mishkanos are wrong. Because, you know, he's all over the place here. You know?
I think there's a Haskalas, the fault.
So here on page Resh Tes, he quotes the Gemara of Gachin V'Achil. So again, let's just go over the Gemara of Gachin V'Achil. The Gemara establishes that Rav Chisda is right, even though Rav Ovin is right, and they're both right. Rav Yovin's Litzorach applies in the case of Akira because it's the Efshar La'anocha below Akira, but at the same time, Rav Chisda is right that Efshar La'achila below Akbar. And the reason for that is he could have gochin iboy gochin v'ochil.
Yeah.
Okay. Just one second. Okay, fine. Now, I want you to keep your finger on the place here, on Resh Tes, sorry, and then turn to the next page, which is Resh Yud.
That'd be difficult because it's on the other side.
You have Resh Yud?
Yeah.
All right? Victory. You have Resh Yud. Now, on Resh Yud, towards the end of the page, he quotes the Gemara of Rabbi Bar Abaye. So let's go over the Gemara one more time. So Rabbi Bar Abaye says that Hagonev Kis B'Shavis is Chayav Shekvar Neschayav B'Gneva Kodem Sheyavo Lidei Isur Skila. So it works like this. He lifts up the wallet in the Rishus Bailim. At that moment, he has implemented a Kinyan Hagbah for which he's Chayav as a Ganov and he has to pay the Nignav. He's not Chayav Skila until he takes the wallet and removes it from the Rishus HaYochid and places it down in Rishus HaRabin. So the Chayav Skila is only incurred at a later period of time. So Rabbi asks the following question. He says, "Vamai hachinami neima or lemo, whatever your gears is, agbol etzorech hautzahi." that the Hagbah is now for the purpose of Hotzah. Later on again, the Gemara is going to come up with all sorts of Hechatimtzes here to answer this question, that maybe his initial intention when he lifted up the wallet was to hide it under the planks in the house of the Nignav. He never intended to take it out, and then he had a change of heart and he decided to take it out, so he had a new Akira, but the original Akira was not an Akira Machayeves, so the Chiyuv Gneva was clinched immediately at the point when he lifted up the Gneva, and the Chiyuv Skila is not going to come till later. But the Gemara initially doesn't understand this. And because the Gemara doesn't understand it, it comes up with all these ukimtas about, you know, what his intention was when he lifted up the thing. But right now, the Gemara is assuming he had full intention when he lifted up the wallet to take it out into Rishus HaRabim. In fact, he probably wants to take it to his house, so he takes it out into the public area until he finally can stash it away, you know, in his safe. So he certainly had intention to take this wallet out into Rishus HaRab. So the Gemara thinks that in this case we should apply the principle of litzarech, of hagbol litzarech hotzah. So far, so good. This is all great until we see Rabbeinu Tam. What does Rabbeinu Tam hold? Rabbeinu Tam holds that for a Kinyan Hagbah, all you need is to lift it one tefach. Again, the Rishonim are very upset with this Rabbeinu Tam, because normally we say there's a din of lavud, it goes up to 3 tefachim, it's on the karka, you didn't do Hagbah, fine. So again, if we were studying Bav Metzia, this would be a major issue, how to justify Rabbeinu Tam's shita. But the bottom line is that is the shita of Rabbeinu Tam. You're chayef Hagbah when you lift it up one tefach off the ground. You're a ganav, and you will pay tashlume gneva. However, Akira requires 3 tefachim, and no less will do. And that's because lavud takes the karka all the way up to 3 tefachim. So as far as Kinyan Hagbah is concerned, Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is you have to demonstrate that you own the object, and that's when you're a ganav. And if you lift it up for the purpose of keeping it, I don't care with love it I hin, love it I hair, as far as the mitzius of what I call in Hebrew hafkanat ba'alut, you know, to be mafgin, to demonstrate your ownership, one tefach is enough. Oh. Frek Toisvis, I have a kash on Rabbeinu Tam. How could the Gemara say that Hagbah litzorech hotzahi, meaning that at the moment that he lifted up this wallet, and he incurred a chiyuv tashlume gneiv, at that very moment, he is litzorech hotzah. He's on his way to do hotzah. He's not on his way to do Hotzah. Where is the object? According to Hilchus Hotzah, it's on the ground. There ain't no Akira here. Akira only begins when? 3 tefachim. So what was the Gemara batting about according to Rabbeinu Tam? Without Rabbeinu Tam, I understand. At the moment that he lifts it up 3 tefachim, he achieves a Kinyan Gneva, and he's Chayef Tashlumi Gneva, and at that very moment, he's achieved an Akira, which is Litzarech Hotzah. But if you grant Rabbeinu Tam's premise, you're in deep trouble. The Gemara has no equation whatsoever. Because as far as the Chiyuv Gneva is concerned, Rabbeinu Tam says, you're chai for Kinyan at one tefach. You don't have to lift it up 3 tefachim. But as far as Akira is concerned, nobody questions the premise that you're not chai for an Akira until you lift it off the ground 3 tefachim. So how could the Gemara see here a litzorech in this case? So Tosfos quotes the Rashba. No, not the Sephardi Rashba, the Ashkenazi Rashba, right? And the Rashba says that we're talking about a case, get this, Rabosai, where the wallet is on the top of a stick.
Which is 3 tefachim high.
I would say it's on the top of a stool, I would say. You know, one of these footstools, you know, but it's 3 tefachim high.
Yeah.
But I just want to show you, Rabosai, to what extent the Rashba was bothered by this kasha. The Rashba basically admits this is an unanswerable kasha. There's no way you can figure out this Gemara unless you come up with the wildest hechatimtzes in the world. And the Gemara had in mind the case where a kiss is on the top of a kana, and the kana is 3 tefachim high.
So it's already there.
It's already there. So the moment he lifts it off the kana, he makes a kinyan, because it's even with Aravid and Tom, even according to other Rishonim, it makes a kinyan because it's already lifted three tefach above the ground. But the chiddush here is that at that moment he's chai for the akira. Why? Because he lifted it above three tefach. Is memela? There's halacha of akira litzarach hanocha. That's the Rashba. Why is it akira litzarach hanocha? Because where is the wallet? It's above three tefachim. You like this Tosfos? If you like it, take it. You can have it. I'll give it to you free of charge. The Rush says the cash is no cash. Doesn't begin.
Of course.
Says the Rush, Akira's Tefach, even though it's not yet an Akira, is Litzora Gimel Tefachim. The Efshal Akira's Gimel Tefach below Akira's Tefach. How are you going to get the object above, all the way to three Tefachim, right? Without first picking up one Tefach. The Gemara is beautiful, says the Rush, even according to Rabbeinu Tam. What are you checkering with Rabbeinu Tam, says the Rush? You're talking about the fact that the first tefach is not yet an akira. Grant you, it's not yet an akira. For sure, it's not an akira. You need an akira's gimel tefachim. But how in the world are you going to get an akira's gimel tefachim without first being okir at one tefach? Says the Rush. Therefore, the Gemara is absolutely justified by saying this is a case of akira litzorach hanocha. And the Mishkanos HaRoim here, based on the Shita Megubetzes and other Rishonim, is going to rack his brains trying to figure out why the Rashba couldn't be smart enough to understand like the Rosh. What was he? Was he shikar? I mean, what was his problem over here? The Rashba. Vashita Megubetzes kasev that Tosis lo tirtzu ker Rosh. Why? The Sfira Lahu. They came on the Efshal Anocha below Agbah. Oh, watch this. You can be chayav for Meleches Hotzah without Agbah at all. How? That's called Gor V'Yotzeh. Mm-hmm. Do you remember, Rabosi, we discussed this earlier today. Yeah. There is a way of circumventing in the framework of Meleches Hotzah the entire business of Agbah. We're going into analysis whether one tefach, three tefachim, you can't have three tefachim without one tefach. Forget all that. He could have been Gor V'Yotzeh. And if he was Gor V'Yotzeh, he didn't need Agbah. Comes along the Rashba and he says the following. There's no way that you can convince me that the beginning of his Akira in the case of Agbah, when he lifts it up one tefach, is Litzorech Hotzah. Because litzorech, as we define, means that it's the efshar beloze, that you cannot achieve your goal of hanocha without this akira. Well, that doesn't apply in this case. The Rashba would argue. I have a very simple scenario or hechatitz in which you can accomplish your goal of hanocha and be chayv from melechas hotzah without the akira, without lifting it up. Dagbah is not something that's absolutely necessary. So the Mishkanos HaRoim, here's where his chiddush comes to play, and he wants to invoke the Ra'ah. He wants to suggest that clearly the teretz of the Rosh is not, or the Rosh, let's say, is not impressed or bothered, if you will, by this claim of the Rashba that Gor V'Yotzeh. Because even if Gor V'Yotzeh proves, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the Akira is not part of the Avera Machayeves, but it's definitely part of the Tchilas Achiyuv. Again, let me try to explain this. We have the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah redefines Kibbeh the Ramin in the case of Litzorach, and he says that this concept called Tchilas Achiyuv. Tchilas Achiyuv means that we start from the Hanocha and we work backwards. And we said, what set up the Hanocha? Well, what set up this Hanocha was the Adbar Sachefetz. And if the Adbar Sachefetz sets up the Hanocha, that's called Tchilas Achiyuv. So you're going to tell me, but from the perspective of the Avera, the Rashba is right, that you didn't have to lift it up. You could have just simply been Gor V'yotze. But it means that the Rash was totally oblivious to the definition of Kimle Ramine of Litzorech of the Ra'ah, because the Ra'ah's definition will allow you to include the Hagbah in the Tchilas Achiyu. If the Hagbah is the Tchilas Achiyu because it's that Hagbah that culminated in the Anacha, then we already apply Kimle the Ramine from the moment that he lifts it up. Says the Rosh, he started lifting it up at one tefach, and then he finally ended up by lifting up three tefachim. When he ends up by lifting it up three tefachim, we're going to say the entire Akira is Litzorech Hanocha, and the Gemara there asks the following question: if we have a din of Litzorech, then for sure he should be potter for paying damages, I'm sorry, for paying for Gneva on the Kinyan Agbav stealing Yenim's wallet. Why? Because at the moment that he stole Yelim's wallet, he was already at the point of Tchilas Achiyuv. Ah, you'll tell me that the Akira starts when he gets three Tvachim high. It doesn't matter. It's impossible to get three Tvachim high without first starting with one Tefach. So the one Tefach is certainly a Tchilas Achiyuv.
So then what do I do?
Just one second. I just want to make sure I'm right in what I told you. Because, again, if he doesn't say it, I want to say it. But I want to know if he says it. I'm just curious. Just give me 1 minute just to clear my brain. He says, V'ulam, this is again at the end of the right column, Reshit Aleph. Tell me please that you have Reshit Aleph, otherwise I'm in trouble. Oh, you do have Reshit Aleph. Again, I breathe a sigh of relief. Do you see a paragraph that starts V'ulam? He says, V'ulam bedas harosh. Why isn't he impressed with this question that he could have been Gorer V'yotze? Yesh lomad desfirle kera'ah. Now we begin to appreciate this ra'ah. The Akiris Gimel Tfachim Poteres Mitzad Atzmo Mishum Sheichelik Me'achiv Misa. This is what we call Tchilas Achiv. In other words, the Rosh is telling us that I don't care, you know, whether or not you were Gor V'yotze, that you could have availed yourself of many different opportunities and many different possibilities. But the point is, if you're talking about the Akira per se, and you want to know whether the Akira of one Tefach is called Tchilas Achiyuv, the answer is for sure the Akira of one Tefach is Tchilas Achiyuv. That's the Rosh's point. Why? Because the Efshel Akira's Gimel Tefach below Akira's Tefach. And in that sense, we already have a Tchilas Achiyuv. So it could very well be that the Maisa Vera, which really is triggered off, it commences with the Gimel Tvachim only when he gets to the Akira above the Karaka, because until now he hasn't done an Akira. Do you follow what I mean? Because Al Pidin through Lavud, the Akira can't begin until he gets the Gimel Tvachim. So when you talk about his Chiyuv or the Maisa Vera for which he's Chayuv, he's only Chayuv when he gets the Gimel Tvachim. That's when he begins his Akira. Until then, it's considered munach agavi karka. But nevertheless, if you talk about a tchilas achiyuv in the sense of the ra'ah, the tchilas achiyuv is before he gets to gimel tefachim. Because without getting to tefach, there's no way in the world he can get to gimel tefachim. Now let's reread the ra'ah about achnas l'piv. Says the ra'ah in achnas l'piv, he will be potter for paying for the chaylev, because achnas l'piv is absolutely necessary for him for the achila. Even though I admit, says the Ra'ah, that Achnas L'Piv is not part of the Achila, Achila equals Blia, but nevertheless, since there's no possibility of Blia without Achnas L'Piv, hence Achnas L'Piv becomes Tchilas Achiyuv, and it knocks off the Tashlumei Mamon for that Kenyan of Tchilas Bekim, which is Chatzah that we discussed before. Same thing here, it says the Molei Areim in the Mishkan Oso Roh. I'm sorry, I don't want to mess up on his name. In the case of the Akiras Tefach, that even though I grant you that the Akiras Tefach Lav Shmei Akira, it doesn't have the status of an Akira because it's still Munach Agavi Karka. But nevertheless, since it's impossible to set up an Akira of Gimel Tefach without an Akira of one Tefach, the Mela, the Akira of one Tefach, is already the Tchilas Achiyuv. No less than Achnosis Piv is the Tchilas Achiyuv of Achilas Chel. I mean, if this is not Olam Haba in this world, I don't know what is Olam Haba. I mean, this is like literally Me'ein Olam Haba, in my humble opinion.
Why is it that you can't say, Rabbi, if you're going to say that, then you can say that since up till three times lovely, so then he has to actually he didn't do anything even when he lifted it.
You're right, Al Pidin he did nothing, but physically he set up the possibility of of Anochas HaChefetz, meaning if his goal is to get this wallet into Rishus HaRabim, there's no way that he can achieve that in this universe as we know it. So you remember Alan, back in the day when we used to get together for Derech HaLimud classes, yeah. You remember those good old days?
Yes.
So we always differentiate between Din and Metzius, between the law and the reality. Here's where the Ra'o is coming up with a beautiful overlap between reality and the law. If you were to ask me, how do you define al pi din, the Maisa Avera of Achilles Chelev, or for that matter, of Akira in Meleches Hotzah? Let's take it one by one. I would certainly, beyond shadow of a doubt, tell you that halachically, al pi din, Hachnasa Lepiv is not an Avera of Achilles. Simply as let him spit it out. I would also argue with you that when you lift up the wallet, one tefach al pidin, that's not an avera. You can decide to drop it. But the mitzius, here's where the Ra'o comes with an incredible overlap between mitzius and din. And he's saying the following, that the din of kibbeh v'drabbanei doesn't depend on your halachic definition of an avera. This is the major breakthrough of the Ra'o. It depends rather on the mitzius as to whether that chiyuv, that ultimate chiyuv, needed, in an absolute way, the maisa or not. So that maisa, which is hachnos lepiv, is not an aver of achiyuv. But nevertheless, it's chilas achiyuv. And my nafkimina, why do you come up with this new definition of chilas achiyuv? Why are you giving me all this fancy stuff? Who needs the fancy stuff? The answer is, I need it for Kimlev the Rabbi. And that's the chiddush of Rabbi Ovin, of Akira L'Tzorach Hanocha. There's no Hanocha without Akira. And if there's no Achila without Achnos L'Piv, then Achnos L'Piv is L'Tzorach Achila. And if there's no Akira of three talking without Akira of one Tefach, then Akira of one Tefach is considered Tchilas Achiv. Is it Tchilas Achiv al pi din? Well, the answer depends. If you're talking about defining a Maisa Aver and call it Torah Kula, the answer is it's not considered a Tchilas Achiv al pi din. But if you're talking not about the Maisa Aver in an abstract sense, you're talking about the din of Kimlev the Ramine, here's the breakthrough of our sugya. And that is Lutzarach. And Lutzarach means the Efshin below Zen. And if it's the Efshin below Zen, there's no way under the universe that I can accomplish my goal without this. Then it becomes Tchilas Achiv and it knocks off a chiyuv mamon as kibbeh v'drabbanei.
That's true. That
do you hear the difference between din and mitzius? You know, it's very
using that same concept. Then would you say that there's a din of kibbeh v'drabbanei when he only you need just like hanocha needs three? I mean, like hagbah needs three tefachim.
According to all rishon, yeah, are you talking in gneva?
Yeah, right.
Or are you talking otzah? In Gneva, then it's about Chutz Rishon. Oh, and Otsa, everybody agrees you need three
Tefachim. And you need Hanocha also.
For sure.
And what if there's no one else? Why you?
That was the rabbi's case. It burnt up in the middle of the sky. You're not chayiv for that.
You know, Chinami, but then you're not chayiv on Kibbeh v'drabbanei also.
Well, you're not part of Kibbeh v'drabbanei. You're chayiv to pay damages.
I mean, there is no
Kibbeh v'drabbanei. Okay. Hence, you pay damages.
Right. Even though there would have been if it had been completed. So you're saying that
crime pays.
It burned up. It burned up itself.
Crime pays from a perspective of Kibbeh v'drabbanei. Again, you know, as they're pushing you off the, whatchamacallit, off the top of the cliff, you scream out, but I don't have to pay him damages. You know, you're a happy camper here. You know, of course, he can't sue you for gneva.
Okay.
That's the good news. The bad news is that it's a long way down. You know what I'm saying? And you get smashed at the bottom.
Okay, so you're consistent.
And if you don't get smashed, they'll smash you with some big stones. You know, it's not pleasant. Skila is not pleasant. It's a pella. You know, we're talking about a guy who shoots an arrow for Amos and Rishus HaRabim. And for that, it's Shabbos? We're going to shove him off a roof. I mean, it's mind-boggling. I mean, again, you know, the Bali Kabbalah are the ones who try to understand the way the Torah operates, you know, based on mystical thinking. But the Bali Halacha don't have access to that information. We're in the dark, you know. But just from a perspective of the Bali Halacha, it's like mind-boggling. You know, some of the Melech HaShabbos, some of the 39 are pretty, shall I say, profound. You know, they make a serious change in the world. But sometimes, it's just like nothing. Like, nothing happened. And for that, we're going to push them off a roof. It's like, you know, like what's going on over here? You know, you have to know more about Shabbos al pi kavol. You know, say.
Does it only apply if there's no hasra?
Yeah, so wait a minute. That's the shiur that you missed yesterday, Rabbi. Oh. Give me a minute to show you where that is. I just don't want to lose my place here. So that was on page. Just give me a second here.
It's going to be Kuf Chav.
That was on Kuf Chav Gimel. So let me just see. I may actually have a copy of Kuf Chav Gimel, believe it or not. Close. There's no Kuf Chav Gimel here. Is it? You have one? Okay, great. So take a look on Kuf Chav Gimel, Rabbi. Since you asked this question, this will be a little of chazara for us, and maybe it might be new for you, but it's on Kuf Chav Gimel.
Oh, it's Kuf Vav.
Right, it's Os Kuf Vav. Paragraph Kuf Vav. And here we have machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So here's a case where he violates a lav, he did not get hasra, and at the same time that he violated the lav, he incurred a chiyuv mama.
Right.
So that's going to be a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in Masechta Chul. You see how far Kimle the Rabbi, you know, it spreads, it's, you know, it's all over the place. So what happens over there? So the Gemara says that if there was no hasra, then he is what's called shogeg. Now again, you know, we'd have to go into a lot of, you know, minute details about whether every case of the absence of hasra is called a shogeg or not. But let's just accept that principle as axiomatic. So in the absence of hasra, he's called a shogeg. That's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says Lo nitna asrael lahavchin bein shogeg lemeizid. You remember that? That's a Gemara in Sanhedrin in Makkos. So here's the case. First, the Gemara takes up the case of chayve misas shogegin. So at the time he violated two different averas simultaneously. One generates a chiyuv misa; it's a capital crime. The other is a chiyuv malkus. But he was shogeg on the Misa, and he was mazed on the Malkus. So in such a case, Rabbi Yochanan says, we're going to give him Malkus. Why? Because since Bezdin is not going to implement the Chiv Misa because there was no Asra and he was a Shogeg, therefore they're left with only one punishment. And the principle of Kedei Rishos is Mishum Risha Achas Atom Achai V'yata Rishad. So we're only being Mechayiv for one Rishas. Reish Lakish on the other hand says, let's look at the Avera per se. The Avera that he committed was a capital crime. Again, albeit he was a Shogeg, we can't punish him with Misa's Bezdin, he's a Shogeg, but nevertheless, he's Potter from Malkus. And Tosa says the same thing is going to apply.
It's the crime and not the punishment.
Excellent. Exactly. Which means that Reish Lakish takes a whole different abstract understanding of Kimle the Rami. It's like Mamish radically different. Because he's saying that it's not addressing Bezdin per se. You know, we thought, and this is, you know, we're not in bad company here with Rabbi Yochanan, but this is the sort of naive understanding of Kimle the Rami, namely that Bezdin can only mete out one punishment and not two. Kedei l'rishosa. Comes along Reish Lakish and says, no, let's not look at the punishment, let's look at the crime. You know, maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his own cheshbon as to, you know, how he's going to punish you for a shogeg in the case of a chiyuv misa, but our hands are tied because there is, now, if on the other hand, let's say he was onet, it was an onet situation on the chiyuv misa. Let's say the crime that he committed was totally out of his hands. He was coerced or whatever it might be. Then in that case, even Reish Lakish would agree that we give malchus. Why? Because that's not kedei rishasa.
Right.
Reish Lakish understands that there's an onus somewhere in the Veltarine, but not in the case of onus.
Right, so
I'm not sure if this is what you were asking about. I think it's relevant to what you were asking about. You know, Kimle the Rabbi is a gigantic sugya. We haven't finished it yet, but we're trying to make some progress. And this machlokas Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan is a key piece in the thing. Now Yosef, you mentioned Yosef a paragraph Kuf Vav. Mm-hmm. Which we just looked at now. Right. But don't forget paragraph Kuf He. Because in paragraph Kuf He, he wants to answer the kasha of the hafla. So I'll just very quickly, we have to daven mincha soon, but very quickly to repeat, there's a brilliant kasha here. The hafla must have been he must have an IQ of 180, I don't know what, but it's absolutely stunning. The Gemara asks, what's the difference between Abaye and Rava? Abaye has Kimlei Mirami derived from Ason, and Rava has Kimlei Mirami derived from the parasha of Molech, of a person who brings his son to Molech. So the Aflah comes up with a difference between Abaye and Rava. He outsmarts the Gemara. The Gemara couldn't come up with Mai Beinai, but he came up with Mai Beinai. What was his Mai Beinai? He wanted to know in a case of Misa Umalkus or Karis Umalkus. Let's stick to Karis Umalkus. That's a little bit easier. In a case of Karis Umalkus, the question is whether he gets Malkus or not. So you might say, well, according to Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Nachum ben Akani, he should be potter from Malkus. Right. Well, no. That's not necessarily so, because the Pasuk of Ason, that's a Abaye's source for Nechunya, is written in Dmei Vlados. It's written in Tashlumei Mamon. So the only derivation that we can have that Kares knocks off Mamon is only vis-a-vis Mamon. We have no basis for the principle that Kares could knock off Malkus. And if you're going to tell me, well, let's derive that from the Parsha of Kedei Rishaso, right? The parish of Kedei Rishasa says nothing about Kares. The parish of Kedei Rishasa doesn't mention Kares. So if you want to knock off Malkus, that's only because you have a Chiyuv Misa, but not before your Kares. Sure. So in this next paragraph, which is Kuvav, here he introduces the Machlokus from Reish Lakish from Rabbi Yochanan. Because if we accept the principle of Reish Lakish, then we can logically answer the comment of the Haflah. Okay, so that's what we did yesterday, and if you get a chance to go through it again, I would appreciate that. Okay then? So actually, the rabbi left, I wanted to say goodbye, because he's leaving now, I think, for a long trip of about 3 weeks. And Sandy, you're still with us for another...
I think so, Monday, I'm not sure.
Monday, maybe Monday. Okay.
Rabbi, it looks like what you're saying is the basic principle here is once you have to decide whether the Rabbi Binay is in play or not. If the Rabbi Binay is in play with a particular thing you're doing, then there's a deal accumulating the Rabbi Binay. But if there's no Rabbi Binay because it doesn't matter that it's the same.
Right. That's Rabbi Yochanan's perspective. Rabbi Yochanan says that this whole, the thrust of Kimlei Rabbi is addressed to Besdin. And it's limiting the hands of Besdin, but if it's not Besdin, because he's a shogeg, there's nothing to knock off Malkus.
That's very good. Okay.